We on this morning? We on?
I feel like we're... There we go. We got volume. We're good. Turn it up a little bit. These people look like they need some volume this morning. Y'all need some volume this morning? All right. Amen. Luke chapter 12. We're in our Bibles this morning. Luke chapter number 12. Are we all there? All right. I'm glad that you came back.
Is this still on? There we go. We're getting volume from this.
Oh, man. Trying to get that running. I hate being handcuffed to this pulpit here. I have like ADD. I got to move somewhere. I see a shiny thing. I got to move over there. That's just how I preach. And so see if you could get that thing running. Give me a thumbs up when you get it back there. And that way we'll be good. You came back this morning even after I told you last week that we're going to preach on stewardship the rest of this month. And I'm glad that you came back even despite that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And some people get mad about a pastor preaching on stewardship. You realize that one out of every 13 verses in the Bible deal with our stewardship. And stewardship's not just money, but the Bible has a lot to say about that. Why? Because where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And you tell us where your money is, tell where the heart is. And so a lot to learn on that. That's why we take the month of January. We focus on that subject. You know, you take the month of January, give or take, you're pretty close to about 1/13 of the year being about that matter of stewardship when you leave out the first Sunday. So I think we're pretty dead on with proportionate as far as how much God talks about our stewardship in the Bible there. So I think it works out okay. Luke chapter 12 in our Bibles this morning, verse number 42. We'll get to that passage of Scripture in a second. Jesus tells us a story to his disciples in the Gospels about stewards, three stewards specifically, two good stewards and one bad steward. I'm sure as I tell the story, it'll kind of bring to light or bring to memory the story that I'm speaking of. There was a rich man, a successful man. He had much, and he was going to, the Bible says, a faraway country, and he decided he was going to leave what he had behind to his stewards. And so he called for his three stewards, and he dispersed all of his wealth, what he had, his possessions, to those three stewards. And the Bible tells us that he gave the first steward 5 talents. You recall that? And he bestowed those 5 talents to that first steward. He calls the next steward in and he says, "Hey, I have something for you to take care of while I'm gone." That second steward comes in and he says, what do you have for me?" He gives him 2 talents. And he leaves. He says, "Thank you." He leaves. And that last steward enters the room and he says, "I have 1 talent for you." It kind of shows us God didn't give us all the same. Don't get jealous over what God's given you. Sometimes we look at somebody else and, well, they have this, they have that. God's given us all different amounts of talents, different amounts of possessions, different amounts of material, different amounts of gifts. You can't get jealous one towards another. It's however the master sees fit. You understand that, right? And so he bestows the 5 talents, the 2 talents, the 1 talent there. And he goes off into his travels in a faraway land. After amount of time, he comes back to reckon or to receive back what he had given to them. So he calls his stewards back in, and he calls the first man that he gave 5 talents to back into that office there. And the steward comes in with the 5 talents that he was given, and he says, "Behold, master, I've gained another 5 talents from the 5 talents that you've given me." He says, "Very well done. I appreciate that. You did a good job." Calls the next guy in, steward number 2. And he brings his 2 talents and he lays it in on the desk there. He says, "Not only have I the 2 talents that you've given me, but I have 2 more that I gained off of that." And he says, "Well done, a very profitable steward." And then the last man comes in with the 1 talent. And he comes in and he sets the 1 talent down. And the master says, "Well, what'd you do with the 1 talent that I gave you?" He says, "I feared because I knew that you're a businessman, very profitable. What you have, you always gain back and even more some." He says, "I was fearful of that, so I went and hid it in the earth to make sure I didn't lose it. And this is that one that I gave to you." He says, "You were very unprofitable in what I've given you." And he took away the 1 talent that he had. And the story goes on to say that the profitable steward, more is given unto him. And the Bible says he shall have an abundance. The unprofitable steward, that which he has, that 1 talent that he had, was taken away from him. And in Luke chapter number 12, verse 42, looking at our passage of Scripture here, I'd like to relate that other portion of Scripture. Christ poses a question to his disciples. The Lord says here, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Catch that phrase there. "Who then is that faithful and wise steward? Whom his Lord shall make over the household to give him their portion of meat in due season." Christ asks a question to his disciples there, to the people. He says, "Who is that profitable steward? Who is that good steward?" Notice what he says next. He says, "Blessed is that servant." What servant? Well, look back up to 42. that profitable steward, that good servant, the one that is profitable in his business. Notice it says, blessed is that profitable steward. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Blessed. Blessed is that profitable steward. Reading this, I don't know everything that it means to be a profitable steward. I didn't, as I read this, you know, what all does it mean to be a profitable steward? Obviously, he has some success, but what does it mean to be a profitable steward? I don't know all that it means to be a profitable steward, but I do know what it means to be blessed. We talk about that word blessed. God, would you bless me? Would you bless my family? I believe we all kind of in general know what that word blessed means. I don't know everything about a profitable steward, but I do know what it means to be blessed, and I do know I want that. Hey, I want to be blessed, amen? I want to be, you look at the definition of blessed, I want to be prosperous. I want to be spiritually happy. I want God's hand of blessing more than anything in the world that I could think about. I want God's hand of blessing on my family, on my life, on my ministry. I want God's blessing on my life, amen? And that ought to be our desire this morning as a Christian. Hey, if I can have God's blessing on my life, I'm in a pretty good realm right there. And so he says right here, hey, that servant, that profitable steward, the result of it is blessed. I decided after reading that, that's what I want. If I can be that profitable steward and in turn be blessed of God, be prosperous, be spiritually happy, have God's hand of blessing on it, I'm gonna do what it takes, find out what it means to be profitable steward, and then become that profitable steward so God's hand of blessing can be upon me. I'd like to preach on the subject this morning. What is it to be a profitable steward? What is it to be a profitable steward? More than anything else out in the world, I'd rather be blessed to God. We had the Powerball. The Powerball is up to $1.5 billion. What in the world would you do with $1.5 billion? I had people tell me before, man, if somebody gave you $1 million, you wouldn't know what to do with it. I could spend it tomorrow. I'd have no problem spending $1 million. But $1.5 billion, I can't even comprehend that. I can't comprehend, man, the what is it, 19 trillion or whatever it is we are in debt. Those types of numbers I can't comprehend. But you can keep your lotto ticket. You can keep the lotto winnings. I don't care. I'd rather be blessed of God than have any of that other stuff out there. If we were preaching this morning on steps to become a millionaire in 5 years, I guarantee we'd all be taking diligent notes this morning. No, I'm not preaching on that. But what is it to be a profitable steward? Because if I'm a profitable steward, then I'm blessed of God. It goes hand in hand. What are the actions and expectations I need to meet to qualify myself in God's eyes as a profitable steward? Let's speak on that subject this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. We'll get into the message. Lord, please work in our hearts this morning, Lord. I'd ask you to give me wisdom in the words to say. I need your help, Lord, so bad. I'd ask that you please help your people this morning. Please give them tender hearts. Give me a tender heart, dear God, as you want to speak to me. I'd ask that your word would not return void. It would cut quick and sharp and deep into our hearts this morning. It would cut away the things that shouldn't be in our lives, Lord. And it would give us a focus on the fact that you own all, dear God, and we're a steward of just what you have, Lord. Please bless us only you can this morning. May decisions be made for you. May the lost be saved if there's any here this morning that does not know heaven as their home. Please work, Lord. We'll give you the thanks and glory for it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I think all we'll get to this morning, this part of the message, is part one. So you come back tonight, you get part two. And it was starting to get lengthy. I figured we better break it up, either that or you have to bring a lunch to church this morning. And so we'll break it up. But we look here about this matter of the profitable steward. If we're going to be learn to be a profitable steward, then I need to start at the beginning. Where does this matter of a steward start? Well, we see the first mention of that word steward all the way back in Genesis. So why don't you turn back to Genesis, chapter number 15. We see this first mention of a steward this morning. There's significance the first time something's mentioned. Do we got this lapel on yet? Nope. Okay, I'll just stay here. I'll stay put. All right. There's this first mention of the steward here in Genesis, chapter number 15. Anytime you see a first mention, you learn quite a bit about the definition of what is being brought up. If you want to learn about temptation, how the devil tempts us, go back to the first time you see temptation. Genesis chapter number 3 there. You see temptation is brought by the devil to Adam and Eve. And you see how the devil always brings temptation to our lives. We learn a lot by looking at the first instance of something being mentioned. If you want to know what real marriage is, If you want to study what marriage is, look back to Genesis when he created man and woman. Genesis chapter 1, chapter 1 and chapter 2. You see marriages between one man and one woman. You see the qualities that should be in a good marriage. You go back to the time something is first mentioned and you learn so much about it. And we see the first mention here of a steward in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. It says, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Abraham's having this conversation with God because he has no children to take on his name. He says, and the steward, now once again, we're talking about stewards here. That's the first mention of that word. The steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. So we see the first steward in the Bible is this man, Eliezer. He's the steward of Abraham. God uses this first use of steward in the Bible, this first steward, to teach us what it means to be a steward. But what does it mean for you to be a steward? If I'm going to be a profitable steward, I have to first learn what does it mean that I'm a steward at all? What does it mean to have good stewardship? But when we look at the life of the first steward that God gives us in the Bible, we find quite a bit of this. Now, not much is said about Eliezer the steward here in chapter 15, but we skip over to Eliezer in chapter number 24, and once you skip over there with me, we learn quite a bit. At the beginning of Genesis chapter 4, we find Abraham, once again, the friend of God. And I'm still awed and amazed over that title, the friend of God. What a title to have. Somebody that walks with God so closely that God will call him his friend. And Abraham here in Genesis chapter 24, he's old, he's weakening. We look at verse number 1. I'm sure this morning some can testify, hey, that's me this morning. But look at it, he's very blessed. He's very blessed of God, blessed in all things. And Abraham is determined. God finally gave him that promised son, Isaac, that he waited so long, so many years for. And he has his promised son, Isaac, and he's determined to find a wife for Isaac. And looking at the story here, Abraham, he determines, I'm not going to go back to Mesopotamia to find a wife for Isaac. He says, no, God delivered me from Mesopotamia, out of that wicked city. We studied it on Wednesday night, how wicked of a city Ur was, and that area was. And he says, God delivered me from all that. I'm not going back to that. We make a lot of excuses sometimes why we have to go back to the world or why we have to leave Canaan land in order to go back for whatever. Christians a lot of times make excuses why I have to leave Canaan, the center of God's will, where God wants me, because this has come up in my life. Hey, too many Christians have left the will of God when it comes to the church house. Well, Pastor, you just understand, I have this in my life or I have that. Hey, if that's the center of God's will, it doesn't matter what comes into your life. You stay in Canaan. Abraham had an excuse. I got to find a wife for my son. I got to go back to my family there. But he says, no, I'm not doing that. I'm staying in Canaan. If the Christian will determine, I'm staying in Canaan no matter what, man, the Christian could go a long way in their life. It doesn't matter what it is that's out there that's necessary and needful. Well, Pastor, job opportunity, I guess I got to leave church. Well, hold on a second. What's first and foremost? Our spiritual life. Amen? Hey, if whatever the decision is in my life, if it's going to hinder my spiritual life, if it's going to bring me down in my spiritual life, I ought to have enough sense as a Christian to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Because my spiritual life comes first and foremost above everything else. Amen? And that's how it ought to be, at least. He does not go into Mesopotamia himself, and he says to the servant, I'm not going to send my son Isaac to go to Mesopotamia. Hey, I have enough sense to stay out of all that junk, and I have enough sense to keep my kids out of all that junk. Hey, listen up here, parents. I want my kids to not be a part of any of that junk there. He understands if Isaac goes back to Mesopotamia, there's a good chance he's going to fall in love with the pleasures and the joy of sin that's going on over there. So he says, I'm not sending my son Isaac to go over there. So what does he do? Abraham says, I'm going to send my steward. Now, here's his importance. He doesn't want a wife for Isaac of the daughters of Canaan, these heathen people. He's going to go back to his family, his heritage there. But he says, I'm going to send my son or my steward, Eliezer, to bring back a wife for Isaac. The steward managed over his house. We're going to see it in a second here. The steward of the house managed over the house, took care of the affairs of his master, Abraham. That's important to note. Look at verse 1, if you would, with me. It says, Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant. Now, who was his eldest servant? We read back in chapter 15 that this was Eliezer, the steward. And we learn the job description of what our steward is from this Eliezer. Look at what it says here. He said unto his eldest servant of his house, notice this phrase here, and this will give us a lot of truth this morning on what a steward is. Notice these next few words, that ruled over all that he had. You say, what's the big deal there? That tells us what a steward is. What was the job description? What was the primary job of Eliezer, the steward of Abraham's house? We see it right here. He ruled over all that the master had. He oversaw all the things, all the possessions, all the material goods, all the affairs of his master Abraham, from the smallest thing to the biggest thing. I mean, we're talking when it came to those everyday, day-to-day things, where he had to take care of the calves and make sure that they were cared for. And the birthing of the cows. Abraham had a lot of cattle. Those little things. Make sure that the chickens are fed. Make sure the maintenance on the house is done. Make sure the maintenance on the camel is done. All the little things, the day-to-day tasks, he was in charge of. And the large things, he was in charge of as well as a steward. Look at the story here. He's in charge of finding the wife for that promised son, Isaac. Man, we're talking a major thing there. To say to a steward, hey, you go find a wife for my son, you're putting a lot of trust and confidence in that guy. And so he is a manager of all things, both great and small here. It was all given into the hand of the steward. The very definition, you looked it up in the dictionary, of a steward is one who manages. He oversaw the household, all that went in the household. He controlled the accounts in the home and in the business. He managed the affairs. Now, it was not his, notice this, it was given to his control though. And that's important to notice this morning, Christian. It was not his, but it was given in his control. He had complete control of all that was the master's. You read a few stories in the Bible. I read the story of Joseph. Joseph went into Egypt. We won't get into the whole thing. But he became a steward of Pharaoh's house. That means that Joseph had all control. It's the same complete control that Eliezer had of Abraham's house. You read the story of Daniel. Daniel ended up being a steward of the king. He had control of the household. He had complete control there. And you and I, as stewards of the King of Kings, have been given control to manage that which is the master's. Hey, Christian, understand it this morning. You and I were a steward of God. When we talk about stewardship, when we talk about you and I being stewards, what does that mean? That means that I have been given management of that which is the King of Kings. Hey, I've been given control of that which is the Lord of Lords. Think about that for a second. The stewardship of Eliezer teaches us that the steward rules over all that is the master's. Before I become a profitable student, pay attention now this morning, wake up this morning. Before I become a profitable steward, I got to first get this matter down. The fact of I'm a steward. It's not mine. Hey God, this isn't mine, what I have. God, this is yours. And Eliezer had to realize that if he was going to be a profitable steward. The steward of God rules over that which is the master's. Understand this morning, I want us to understand, God owns everything. You realize that? You realize all that God owns? Psalm chapter 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's, he says, and the fullness. The fullness means everything that it's full of. It's pretty simple there. He says, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and the world, and all they that dwell therein. Hey, everything that exists on this earth is God's. God owns the earth and everything in it. Hey, God owns the water that flows through our lakes and through our streams that we drink. God owns the land that we live on. God owns the trees and the material that our houses were made from. God owns the money that we spend, the paper that the money was made from, the trees that the paper was made from, and the gold that used to back our money at one point in time. Hey, God owns it all. Whatever you could think of on this earth, God owns it. God owns the oil fields and the oil that comes from them. God owns the earth and all that is in it down to the smallest, most minute particle of dust this morning. I don't care how insignificant it is, God owns it. This past Christmas, I made my wife her Christmas present. At least part of it. We had a tree cut down in the front and the back of the house over there. And there was a stump that existed when it was all cut down. Now the stump was mine. It was on the property there. We had the tree cut down. And so it was. I owned possession of that stump. I shaped the stump how I wanted. I sanded it down. I took off the bark. I put some glaze on it and made it into a table for my wife. And set it out there with two rocking chairs. Now that stump there, that table. That table is mine. Why? Because creation establishes ownership. I own what I created it out of, and I created it, and so now it is mine. Hey, you realize this morning that God has created all things? Hey, the Bible says all things are created by Him. We didn't form Him. In case you're confused this morning, we weren't formed from monkeys. We weren't formed from an amoeba. Nothing came and evolved over time. It all came from God. God created all things. All things that exist in this world were created by Him. And since they were created by Him, He then owns it. Creation establishes ownership. Understand, all that is, God is the rightful owner of it. All that's in this earth. Hey, Mother Nature doesn't own nature. Father God owns nature. Get it right this morning. Well, that's Mother Nature's. We need to be careful. No, that's Father God's. You better be careful. Hey, understand this morning, the rich resources. Our country is so rich. I think about that song, America the Beautiful. I love that song. It talks about some of the resources that we have across from sea to shining sea. But those rich resources that we enjoy here in America, they aren't owned by you and I. They aren't owned by the American government. They aren't owned by the Native Americans. They aren't owned by the wild animals that were here before we were here. You know who they're owned by? God. God. Hey, God owns everything this morning, amen? Get it down, realize it. Hey, the number one problem that we have in our stewardship, mark it down, the number one problem, and this is why we have to get this underlining thing down first. I don't know what's beeping, but if we can shut it off, that'd be great. Thanks. Number one problem in our stewardship, catch this. We don't think God owns it all. Hey, every time that we mess up in our stewardship, every time we come short of what we should be as a steward, any time that we're that unprofitable steward, mark it down, it goes back to we don't think God really owns it all. We get to start thinking that it's mine. We got to get back to this concept, and first thing that we have to get down, the foundation that has to be laid here, is the fact that God does own it all. We think what we have is ours. Many times it's the case. I own it. And this is a humanistic philosophy that our society is trying to pump into us. Hey man, from the little kids, they go off to preschool. You know what's being pumped into your child? Hey, you work hard, you own it, it's all yours. And you can use it how you want it. Can I say that's totally anti-biblical? You understand, teach your child from a young age, this is God's. Everything that I have is God's. The philosophy that's being taught, I've worked hard for it. I've put the time, effort, the sweat, the tears into it. It's mine. Hey, I've earned it. It's mine. And that's a philosophy. And can I say, I'm all for the American dream out there. And you go after it, you chase it, you earn it. Praise God. I'm happy for somebody that will be diligent on that. But you got to realize who's behind it all. As my dad used to put it, you got to understand who butters your bread. Go out there, work hard. See success. But understand where that success comes from. We have this it's mine philosophy, and this is why we're so selfish with what we have. We drive around that car. Man, somebody puts a ding in my car. It's World War III. Let's fight about it. Amen. Because it's my car. Hey, something happens to my house. My house gets taken away from me. It's devastating. You see some of these people, the house goes into foreclosure. Man, their life is a wreck. Now, I understand that's devastating. That's a hard thing to deal with. But once again, we have that philosophy. It's mine. And that's where we come into trouble. My family, all of a sudden sickness and illness comes into the family. Maybe loss comes into the family. We shake our fists in the face of God. Hey, that's my family, God. Hold on a second. Whose is it really? My IRA. That's my money, God. All of a sudden the stock market crashes. How can God do this to what I have? Whose is it? Whose is it? You see, we got to lay the platform here. We got to lay the foundation. This is not mine. Hey, my career. If I lose it, man, it's all over. I'm done with. So many people are so devastated when they lose a career after being there so long. Whose is it, though? We do this because we believe it's ours. This is why when God asks us to give of our time, our talents, our treasures to God, we're so tight-fisted. And God has to sit there and try to pry every one of our fingers open before He can get it. Because it's mine, God. This is my time. This is my talents. It's my treasure. It's my money, God. And we become a basket case when God would take it away from us. I call it the Neb disease. Y'all remember King Neb in the Bible? Nebuchadnezzar. He thought he owned the world. In fact, Daniel chapter number 4, verse 30, he says this. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? What is he saying here? Hey, it's all mine. It's all mine. And can I say, King Nebuchadnezzar did have control of it. I'm not denying that fact. You know what happens, though? Because we have control of something, we allow it to get to our heads many times, and we abuse that control that God has given us. That control all of a sudden allows us to think it's mine instead of His. God had given Neb the control of everything. It wasn't King Nebuchadnezzar's, and he had the wrong mindset. God destroyed him because of that. You see, it's not your money. It's not your family. It's not your career. It's not your family that we're talking about. And neither is it mine. It's God's money. Hey, this morning, Christian, listen. It's God's family. Those are God's kids. It's God's career. That's God's possessions. I got to realize where it all came from. It all came from Him. Who gave you the ability to be able to earn what you have? Who gave you the time? You didn't have to have that time on earth. I read all the time about young people dying. You see, we're young kids even. God didn't have to give you that time where you're able to earn and achieve and keep to yourself. Who gave you the talent? Who gave you the resources? Too often we forget that everything has come from Him. Too often we forget that it's all God's. This prevents us from being a profitable steward. Hey, lost or saved this morning, the earth is the Lord's, and all that you and I own are His. It's all His this morning. Psalm chapter 50, verse 10. I love this verse. God talks about here how He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You heard that verse before, haven't you? Hey, praise God that we have a God that owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all the resources He wants. Amen? Where do you think He keeps that cattle? God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. My Bible tells me so. Where does He keep that cattle? Hey, God owns all. He has all the resources. Where does He keep the resources? What do you think? Up in space somewhere floating around? I don't think so. You know where He keeps His resources? You know where He keeps His cattle? In the steward's hand. Hey, God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. You know where it's at? He gave it to the steward and said, take care of that for me until I get back. Hey, it's all God's this morning. He just simply put it into our hands. King David made this statement, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth," he says, "is Thine." The steward better understand this morning. We better understand as stewards. Get it down. It's God's. God gives us a portion of what He owns to manage for Him. Hey, that's what a steward is this morning. God gives me a portion of what He owns to manage, to have control of for Him. What a perfect picture Abraham and Eliezer are of God in us. Hey, Abraham, the Bible says, was blessed. He owns so much. And he puts it into the hand of the steward to have control of, to manage and oversee it. You know what you and I hold this morning? You take out your wallets this morning. You know what you hold? That which is God's. You know, as you go home to that house that you slept in last night, you know what you're going to? God's. Hey, all that you and I hold this morning, it's all God's this morning. And I got to understand as a steward that that's the case. As a steward, I'm given that which is the master's in order to manage it. All the possessions that we own are God's. The furniture that we have in our house, it's God's. The warm bed that I slept on last night, that was God's. The house that we slept comfortably in last night as it rained and snowed, that's God's. The car that I drove into to church this morning, that's God's. The job that we'll go to tomorrow, that's God's. Oh, all the possessions that we own, the food that I have in my cabinet, it's God's. It's all God's. God has allowed me to manage all of it. And that's simply what I'm doing. I'm managing it. God's given me control of it. I must understand who owns it. As a steward is preparing to take his journey, here in this passage of Scripture, Eliezer is beginning to take his journey to find Isaac a wife. Look at verse number 10. Look at what it says here. Genesis 24, verse 10. And the servant, is it warm to y'all? Y'all seem like you're warm in here. Y'all warm? Can we turn that down a hair, Brother Dave, back there? And the servant took 10 camels. Look at verse 10. Servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. Who did those camels, who were they owned to? His master. And departed. Notice this. For all the goods of the master were in his hand. Think about that for a second. What a great picture here. All the goods of the master were in the steward's hand. As a steward, all the goods of Abraham were placed under the control of the use of Eliezer. Everything that Eliezer touched, it wasn't his, it was the master's. Hey, none of it was really any of his at all. He didn't own any of it. What we need as a society is to realize everything that I have, all the possessions that I have that I touch, none of it is really mine. That's a hard one to comprehend. Hey, and it's not the government's either. Amen. I got some amens there. Can we get some amens here? It's God's. Hey, the possession that I own, it's God's. The house, the furniture, the car, everything that God has given, it's all His. My Father owns it all. I believe there's a song after that. My Father owns it all. And we forget that many times. And if we would get this down, we'd be a whole lot selfish, a whole lot less self-centered about what I have in my life. My possessions, hey, they're simply a tool. My house is just a tool God gave me so I can use it for His work. Well, I don't know. How's those teenagers over at my house? They'll make a wreck of my house. Hey, God gave you your house as a tool. Get over it. Well, that car, I don't want to use it for the Lord's work. Who knows what? Get over it. We need to use our possessions, our tools that God has given us, as just that, tools for His work. Before God starts taking away and says, okay, you don't want to use them for me? Fine, I'll take them away. Our possessions are just His. The steward, he wasn't controlling his own possessions. It was all Abraham's. Now, he was given control. He was managing it. But it was all His. It was all the Master's. My possessions are just a tool God has placed in my hand for me to use. Our possessions, our families. Our families that we're blessed with. You know what they are? They're God's. Sometimes, as a father and husband, I get to thinking my family's mine. And yes, I've been given responsibility of my family. But I have to understand, sir, understand this morning, my family is His. My family is His. Here in the account of the steward, Abraham entrusted his family's well-being to his steward. The steward was responsible to go take care of the finding of a wife for his son Isaac. In biblical times, you read it, a lot of times the steward would take care of the needs of the master's family and would care for the master's family. But who did the family really belong to? It belonged to the master. It didn't make it the steward's family. It was still the master's. Understand this morning who your family truly belongs to. Your spouse truly belongs to God. Your kids truly belong to God. If you and I understand that our family really belongs to God, hey, it'll make a difference. Sickness and illness comes into the family, and I understand that they're God's. It's a whole lot easier to go through those steps. It's a whole lot easier to go through that trial when I realize this is God's right here. Pay attention now. Pay attention. It's God's. Hey, losing a loved one wouldn't be such an event that would cause us to turn from God if I understand that loved ones is God's anyways. Hey, God has the right. I'm not saying any of us would want to go through that, but God has every right to take away a parent or a child or a close friend. Why? Because it's His. Hey, Christian, it's His. My family is His. I have to allow Him to do as He sees fit. There's no doubt there'll be sadness, there'll be emotion and something like that, but I can have peace when I understand, hey, that's really God's and He can do as He pleases. As parents, we often mistakenly believe, my kids are all mine. No, they're God's. They're God's. Parents many times will fight the will of God in their kids' lives because they don't want to lose their kids to a mission field or have them move far away. What is God going to do with the kids if He has His perfect will in their life and we hold on to those kids? Hey, those are God's. My responsibility is just to raise them for God and to make sure that they turn out for God. As Proverbs chapter 6, verse 22, train up the child in the way that he should go. Not my way, in the way that God would have him to go. You see, I'm just a manager of the family God has given me. The family that we hold dear is a gift from God to cherish and to lead and to manage. My wife is a gift from God. Hey, sir, Proverbs talks about that. A prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. She's a gift to you. Your kids are a possession of God's. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Well, God better not touch my... fill in the blank. Hold on. Are they yours or are they God's? I got to put it in God's hand. If you think you can raise your family and your kids however you desire, yes, God's given you control, but you're a fool. Hey, don't think that God one day isn't going to come and say, hey, time to have it all coming to judgment here. What'd you do with those talents? What'd you do with those kids? What'd you do with that wife or that husband of yours? How'd you do there? God gave us a family to raise for His honor, for His glory. I'm going to be responsible one day to God on Reckoning Day. My family's a part of my stewardship. You see, it's every area. We think just the wallet. It's a family. It's a possessions. Hey, every dollar that comes our way is God's. It is the wallet too. Eliezer, he had gold and he had silver that he was going to bring to Rebekah and Rebekah's family, the future wife of Isaac. Hey, this wealth, it was all the Master Abraham's. It wasn't his own wealth. And you read there how he had bracelets of gold that he would give. But it wasn't coming from his account. It was all Abraham the Master's. Eliezer did not own a penny of it. He simply managed all of it. Hey, we don't own a penny of what we have. I don't own a penny of the small amount that's in savings. I don't own a penny of what's sitting in my wallet. And neither do you. Hey, it's all God's this morning. All our wealth or lack of wealth, hey, it's all His. It's all His this morning. It's simply what God has put in my hands. We think we're doing God a favor by putting in our tithes. Well, God, I did my tithe this week. I'm somebody. Hold on a second. I'm just giving back to God what He already owns. I don't know why there's such a fuss about the tithe. It's all God's anyways. Hey, God's going to get it one way or another, whether we fight for Him with it over that or not. In fact, I read from the Bible, it ought to be above and beyond that. Our giving ought to be way more than just a 10% giving. I don't know why there's so much bickering and fighting with God over this issue. Hey, it's all God's. It's all God owns it all. It is a steward giving back to the Master what is already rightfully His. Some of you men can relate with this. You give your friend a power tool to borrow, right, for the week, but it ends up being 2 years. You go back to that friend, hey, I'm on this project again. I loaned you that tool. Any way I can get that back? Can you imagine if he would say, no, you can't have that back. It's mine now. Hold on a second. Who gave you that? That's not right. Hey, that's how our finances are. God just put it into our hands. Hey, I want that. God, you can't have, God, you're asking an awful much. Don't you know where I'm at in my life? Hold on a second. The Master just placed that in the steward's hand to take care of for the time being. I got to be careful about my attitude. The money that goes through my hands is God's. Now, people, and rightfully so, people get so upset. You hear a story about a church using the money that people are giving to God, unrightfully so. And you ought to get upset about that. That ought not go on. What can I say? When was the last time a Christian got upset at himself for using his money? Unrightfully so, wasting away his money. We don't get upset when we waste our money. Well, I don't know about that church. They spent that money. I don't know if that was a good use of their money. How many times have you made a bad decision on your money, sir? Hey, guess what? Your money's God's too. You see, we got it. And I'm all for a church using an acronym, 100%. Don't get your pastor wrong this morning. You know I am. But we need to look at our money and say, hey, how am I using my money for God? I'm a steward just like the church is a steward as well. I have to understand every dollar is God's. So many times we waste away so much money flippantly. If you look back at our check register for 2015, you know how much money we ate or wasted at McDonald's? I guarantee you if we look back and recorded the fast food amount, we'd be awed and floored. What in the world am I doing? Hey, we're stewards. We're stewards. The abilities that we have are all given by God. I'm just steward over the abilities. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Hey, it was by God's grace that He gave us the gifts, the abilities, the talents that we have. And God said, I want you to be a good steward over it. Hey, be a good steward. And how you use those gifts that I've given by my grace. How you manage those gifts and talents. Yes, God's given me control over them. And how I use them and when I use them. But God says, I want you to use them for my glory, for my honor. I'm a steward over them. They're God's. Hey, the time that God's given me. Hey, it's God's. The time that I have down here on this earth. Every day that I have is a gift from God. Every moment that I breathe, this breath of life, is a gift from God. How am I using it as a steward? It's His. It's not mine. Well, it's my time to waste. No, it's God's time that you're wasting. I'm a steward. Hey, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a steward of it. I love this story, and I love reading the story. Why? Because Eliezer, the steward, in chapter 24, is going to carry the message of his master to Rebecca, the future bride of the son, in order to bring her back for him. What a great picture this is of the Christian being a steward of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me bring it out here. What a great picture. The master, Abraham, sent the steward, Eliezer, to bring a message to a group of people that he might bring back the bride, Rebecca, to the son, Isaac. What do we have today? The Master, God the Father, has given the steward, you and I, a message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's entrusted it to us, and he said, I want you to go out there and bring back a bride Hey, the lost world, a group of people that need Christ, bring back a bride for the Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, he was a steward. I'm a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, it's not mine to throw away with. It's not mine to hang on to. I must be careful in how I manage the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm a steward of it. We could go on and on, but you get the point. You get this point this morning. It's all his. The salvation that I have, it's his this morning. The possessions that I have, they're his. The money that I have, the family that I have, everything that I own, it's all his this morning. You understand that this morning? The life of the stewardship is all about the fact that it's all God's. The owner of it, it's him. The steward must have a proper view of who owns what he has. The proper view, my Father owns it all. Everything that I touch is the Master's. I'm managing it for the Master. I've heard it once said that stewards are like bank tellers. They handle or control a lot of money, but they better not start thinking any of it is their own. Hey, that's what it boils down to. I'm a steward of God. If I'm going to be a profitable steward, I got to understand what a steward is. A steward is simply managing it, and a lot runs through these hands right here. But I better not ever start thinking, hey, this is mine. I own this. This is in my hands. Control ruins a lot of people. If you got little kids at home, or maybe when you did, you got your little kids running around, and you give some authority to another kid. Hey, go tell your sister, fill in the blank. What happens? She tells her sister whatever it is to fill in the blank, but then it goes a little bit farther, and all of a sudden it gets to her brain that she is in charge. That never happened at our house at all. We end up taking more, or they end up taking more control, reaching for more control than God really gave them. Control ruined them. Hey, if we're not careful as Christians, as stewards, God's given us control over what we have. If we're not careful, we're going to abuse that control and reach farther with it than God ever wanted us to have. I got to keep in mind, it's His. It's His. Yes, He's given me control, but I must use it so wisely. Job had a proper stewardship idea in his mind. Job didn't care. Before all that happened, he lost his kids, he lost everything, lost all his wealth. But before that, Job was already giving to God. You read, he would often offer sacrifices for all his kids. Man, his giving to God was astounding. You know why? Because he had the proper view. It's all his anyways. And then what happened? God takes all away from Job. He takes away his kids all in one day. All his livestock in one day. He takes away his health. He takes away everything that he has. And his wife says, Job, curse God and die. And what does Job do? Job says, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why? Because it's all God's anyways, wife. Hey, he had a proper view. It's all God's anyways. Is that your view this morning? It's all God's? I'm just a steward of it. My life is all about stewardship to the Lord. When it comes to my possessions, when it comes to my talents, when it comes to my money, when it comes to my family, when it comes to the gospel message of Jesus Christ, when it comes to the time in my life, I'm just a steward of all that God has given me. A steward that manages for the Master. The first step, though, I need to acknowledge that God is the owner of it all. Is He in your life? Is He the owner of it all? Or do you have in your mindset, no, this is mine? You know, it shows in our actions a lot of times. Control doesn't establish ownership. Creation establishes ownership. God created you. God owns all that we have. God owns it all. The Christian can't let the control that God has given him destroy the stewardship in his life. What a great privilege that God would entrust, that he would have confidence in you and I, that he would say, okay, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so now, hey, Christian, here's some cattle here. Here's some resources here. Here's some money here. I want you to watch over it. What a great privilege. I read the story. We're just about done. I read the story in the Bible. Christ gave a parable. Now, this parable, the main interpretation, I understand, is to the Jew, but there's many applications. One of the applications I'll apply this morning. But he gives a parable how a man bought a vineyard. And the Bible says that the man hedged the vineyard. He fertilized the vineyard. He got that vineyard going, fruitful. And then he lets it out to a husbandman, somebody to take care of it for him. I guess you can say a steward, somebody to watch over what he left. And he goes off, the steward is taking care of the goods, and it's time for fruit-bearing season. And so he sends his servants over there, and he calls for the fruit that's supposed to come forth, and the husbandman, the steward of the vineyard, said, nuh-uh. And they end up killing the guy
trying to get the fruit for the master. And he sends more servants back. He ends up sending his son. He says, now get away from me. What's he end up doing? The master says, hey, if you're not going to understand who the true owner is, and that's what the man thought sight of. He lost sight that that guy is a real owner, not me. If you're not going to understand who the true owner is, I'm taking this away and I'm bringing in somebody who can. Hey, Christian, stewardship is about understanding who the true owner is. I'm not the owner. And if I can't admit and understand and live by the fact that God is the owner that I have, God has every right to move in and say, I'm going to take that and find somebody who understands who the owner is. Hey, steward. Steward. What is a steward? One that simply manages. I'm just a manager. Do you see yourself? Let me ask you this morning. Do you see yourself as a steward of what you have this morning, or do you see yourself as the owner? Which one? I own this all. No. No, we're just a steward. I cannot be a profitable steward until I first see myself as a steward. Who owns all that you have this morning? Who owns that possession? Who owns the money that you have? Who owns the family that you have? Who owns the time that you have? Who owns your wallet? Many times we say God is the owner, but we live like we're the owner. Hey, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to acknowledge that God is the owner in my actions. God, this is yours. Do what you want. I want to serve you with it. When I understand who owns it all, I can be a profitable steward for the master of it all. Hey, maybe this morning there's some that need to just change around their mindset. Change around the view. Hey, God is the owner of all that I have. Maybe some of us need to just correct this morning the fact that God is the owner. Maybe some of us this morning have some bitterness, some resentment, some anger because God took something that we thought was ours. And we need to lay down some bitterness or some anger. Understand, hey, God's. It's God's. He can do as he sees fit. Maybe some of us this morning need to commit to this year viewing what God has given me as his. I'm the steward. I'm just going to manage it in a way that would please God. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning.